Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Hope you guys had a great weekend.
It went by way too fast.
It does go by fast. By the way, Montana's brother is in the path of Irma right now.
Prayers, please.
Yep. He's on St. Kitts Island, right?
St. Kitts is just off of Puerto Rico. And the Hurricane Irma, which is now a Category 5 and up to 300-mile-an-hour winds, is hours away from hitting his island directly.
It's already started, though. I mean, he's gotten the rain.
Yeah, he's on the outer bands.
No communication yet?
We got a text early this morning at 8, and that was it.
Wow.
We're not, and he said, I probably won't get any more information out to you because, of course, communications are all down. So we'll be looking for text hopefully soon enough. But they are hunkering on him, and
say
I mean
your
that.
Prayers.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, he's hunkering down in his bunker there with his family. We're here in sunny California having a great day. Of course, we have a lot of fires going on in California. There's always something that's tough. We are so blessed to live in Southern California. We have from time to time earthquakes and fires, but not a lot else. So we can count our blessings right now. Things are good here. We have a great show for you. We're going to be in just a few minutes with a young man named Brandon Fishman. He's at the helm of a company called Internet Marketing. And guess what they do? Internet marketing.
Let me think.
Yes. We're going to find out how you might be able to market something over the internet. He's got lots of secrets. Maybe we can pry some out from him. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm hoping he can tell me what the internet is. I'm still a little bit confused.
You know, when you say you're a Luddite, I'm not so sure that that's not true.
Yeah, maybe.
You do know a little bit more than
What's
you put on
What's the thing
though?
I'm speaking into? I hear voices in my head.
Brandon also started a company called Vitacup, which is pretty cool if you drink coffee. You can now get vitamins in your coffee. It sounds really interesting. So we'll talk to Brandon in just a few segments. Presently, we have Deborah Sweet in studio with us. Deborah, thanks for being here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Now, in terms of full disclosure, you've been on with us before.
Yes.
Way back when.
Way back when.
But in Biz Talk 1.0.
Yeah. Correct.
Yes. This is our reboot, right?
Absolutely. And I'm really excited to be here.
Good to have you back.
I know.
You are an author, speaker, trainer. You do a lot of different things in terms of helping companies grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get some secrets and tips and tricks from you. But you're also very involved in helping women in business, and not just in business, but generally in their lives.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in the world of helping people, I guess, utilize their full potential in business.
I would love to. Well, you know, since we've been together on the air, there's been many evolutions. And I think that that is not just unique to what we're doing in business, but what people in general in business are doing. And one of the things that is really unique about my ideal clients is they all have some common traits. They're very driven. They have a desire to be successful. They're very passionate about what they do. You know, they have this reason that they want to run a company and they get going and then all of a sudden they get stuck because they don't know how to scale. And that is a big deal. In fact, I think that's one of the most common things I hear most often, especially for today's entrepreneurs, whether you're men or, you know, male or female, it's I don't know how to scale. And so
scaling would be growing their business in some geometric format rather than kind of organically or linearly. I mean, it's a faster rate of growth is by scaling, right?
Absolutely. And and not only just growing, but my clients, I always hear them say, I want to make sure that I do this at a pace I can handle. And that is really a big aha moment when you understand that you can actually control your growth and it can be very intentional. And so there's actually five things that I want to share with everybody today that they can actually walk away with no matter where you're at in business. I've worked with companies that are true startups thinking about starting up, have, you know, gone public. And there are some common situations, common conditions that we see over and over again from our business where there's gaps in the companies. And so if you apply a few of the ideas that I'm going to share this morning, everybody's going to have an opportunity to take it to the next step.
Well, we're all ears. I mean, seriously, this sounds really interesting. So cool. Let's go through them. What are some of the tools and things that you work with clients on that help them accomplish their goals?
Absolutely. So we all have these great ideas. So number one, this is so important, is that you must document what you're doing. And I know that doesn't sound really sexy. Yeah, you just looked like, what? You have to document your steps and what you're doing because there's one really
common. You just caused me some pain.
No. Oh, trust me. I'm not. You're not the first.
Because I trust my memory for everything. Which,
hot dog,
what did I just say?
Yes. You trust your memory, and that's it.
So it's documenting things.
You have to document it. And why that's so prevalent is that business is so fast these days. You know, we're pivoting. You've got this crazy thing called the internet, and there's, you know, life that gets in the way of business sometimes. And so, yes, way too many businesses, whether they're small or large, too much of how the business is done is sitting in the mind of the CEO, the executives. And why that's painful, why it causes problems, is that there are things that the executives want, your core vision, that it's in your head, but if you don't know how to translate it, you don't have it on paper, you can't have a really tight team.
I'm guessing that part of that documentation process is knowing what to document.
Yes.
Because our word of the week is digihoarding, and I'm a digihoarder, so I document way too much.
You just download way too much.
I know. I have terabytes and terabytes of stuff. I'm going to go to a petabyte next. That's what's after terabytes.
So often, I think people who found companies, they want to think that they're completely indispensable to the company, but by basically hoarding that knowledge and that information, it would make it a lot more difficult for them to grow their company if the people around them don't actually know how they can do that. I mean, what can maybe talk a little bit about what sort of spaces they would would it be a CRM kind of system, or are you talking about just keeping a journal and then sharing it with some of their higher ups so that everybody is make sure they're
so they
on the
know
same
what
mission?
To document? Yeah, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, what sort of things would be important for them to document, and why?
Everything. And I know when people hear that, there's like a thud in the room. They'd be like, "Oh my gosh, they have to do what?" So we keep it simple. I have a process called the step-up process. It makes it so it's manageable. But to answer your question, it's, you know, in the end, I want to help people create their business in a box. It's a tangible asset for their company so that when they finally decide to leave the business, whether it's they want to sell it, or it, heaven forbid, if there's that unexpected transition from the company, which I got to tell you happens way more than what people think. I go to call up somebody and the person on the phone is not the owner, the CEO, because they're no longer around. Like, and I don't mean just not working, I mean around. And the business was in that person's head. So we want to create a business in the box. So, you know, what are you doing for marketing? What are you doing for sales? What is the growth for the company? What are you doing for HR? And why this becomes really valuable for companies is that we are able to, and how we help companies scale by this process is we're able to fine tune where their strengths are and where there's opportunity for growth.
We're going to ask you to hold the thoughts on the next four steps. Wow, this is going by too fast. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Deborah Sweet's with us. She has some amazingly good information for you if you're in business or you hope to be there someday. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smed.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Today we're broadcasting from the ESET studios, ESET Internet Security. Do more. Want a podcast of the show? Of course you do. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Your voice cracked when we would.
It did.
Seventh grade all over
Nightmares.
Again. We just had that conversation, didn't we?
I'm hiding in the locker room all over again.
Did you really do that?
No.
No, okay, good.
It gives you a good visual.
Yeah, up at the bottom of the hour, Brandon Fishman is going to be with us, internet marketing, and another one of his companies, Vitacup, hear about the really fascinating stuff he's doing, and maybe you can learn how to do some of the cool things he's doing. But the Vitacup, maybe you can learn how to get a hold of some of it because there's vitamins in your coffee. What a great idea.
Great concept.
This segment, it's Deborah Sweet, and she is a best-selling author, speaker, trainer, and does so many things, including helping businesses scale properly. We talked about the five strategies or five things that you have for business. We got through number one, which is document everything.
Right.
Two, three, four, and five. What are those?
Oh, I actually kind of slipped in one of the other ones for you. So, you know, I want to just kind of share. So some of what I'm about ready to talk about, it's not... Some of this is common knowledge, but here's the scary thing. Over 95% of the businesses don't have what we're talking about. And that's the scary part. And it makes me very passionate to want to change how businesses have been doing business. Because there's an alarming statistic that I really want to help create a not there's something called the Thrival, and that's a revival of heart, soul, body, mind, and spirit. So what we say, what we act, how we think, what we do are all in alignment, all in one accord, so that we can live in our full essence and truly leave our place in this world. Well, when it comes to business, that's my space, right? There's a statistic that on an annual basis, there are over 580,000 businesses that start and close to 550,000 businesses that close. And so what these last little tidbits.
So we're left with 30,000 businesses
a year
that start.
It's scary. It's scary. And when you think that the backbone of our country was built on entrepreneurship, and what I see is a pattern that's broken. Let's fix it, right? So documenting is huge. Part of it is one of the, number two is about determine your top three products that have the most revenue. A lot of people focus elsewhere when they should be focusing on the things that make them money.
Well, if you're an entrepreneur, you do what's fun sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not what's most profitable.
Well, but they want, you know, go into business to make money, right? So number three is define your four P's, product, place, pricing, and packages. This is all part of what should be in your documentation system. I already kind of slipped in number four, which is create your business in a box. Have something that you can sell when it's time to sell. So it's not just, you're not just selling blue sky. And most important thing, number five, really know when to hire somebody with more education and information to help you through the process of scaling up. And that's a big deal because when, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, we think we can do it ourselves. But when you really want to leverage and you want to leapfrog your growth, it takes a team to do it and it takes outside information.
Sometimes the business outgrows the founder.
Absolutely.
And we see that often in businesses. I think there's a company called Uber. Business may have outgrown the founder just a tad bit,
just
right?
Just a wee bit. Yeah.
So there's those kinds of things that happen that business owners need to be aware of. How would somebody know all this is available? Do you work with businesses on all five of these areas? Is that the consulting work that you do?
Yes. Well, we bring this in. I come in with a lens of marketing because eventually everybody wants to know how to better market and have a really effective marketing plan. But I start with, you know, we've got to figure out what's strong in the business and where those opportunities for growth are. In fact, I offer a free strategy session. If somebody, you know, listeners wants to, they'd like to talk to me, you know, feel free to reach out.
And how can they reach out to you? Where can they get a hold of you?
I have a really fun website. It's just called ResultsRock.com.
ResultsRock.com. All one word, ResultsRock.
ResultsRock.com. And that'll lead you right to me. And you'll learn a lot more about me. But more importantly, I want to learn about your listeners.
If somebody does go to ResultsRock.com and they get a hold of you, you can sit down with them and do some analysis of their business, show them where you might be of value?
Absolutely. And I do that initially. We have the strategy session. There's no cost on that. That's just because I want to make sure that we're a good match.
Go ahead.
Are you helping struggling businesses too, or is it all businesses that are doing well already but having trouble scaling so they just don't know how to get big quickly or as quickly as they want to?
Great question. I would love to help all struggling businesses, but I prefer to work with businesses that have...
I bet eventually you want to get paid.
Yeah, just a little... Well, I thought you said that, not me, but I'll share that. No, I prefer to work with businesses that have a platform and they really do want to leverage your time, leverage their expertise, whether it's male-owned businesses or female. I work with a lot of men, but, you know, Bob, you kind of mentioned that I'm also very passionate about working with women-owned businesses, too.
Just to finish up on that question,
sure.
Is there a revenue cutoff? I mean, if somebody's doing $100,000 a year, is that a business that even if it's successful, you'll refer to somebody else or maybe give them some other guidance? Or where do you start working with the businesses? A million, 10 million, 20 million?
My preference is 2 million and up. However, I've developed a whole suite of products and services. That
no pun intended.
No pun
intended. Okay, how many times do you get puns on your last name, right?
I don't even mention my last name. It's a California guy thing that goes sweet.
Definitely a sweet name. Yes, of course. We could do this all day long.
I know that. Okay,
yeah, so sorry about that.
That's okay. To answer your question, so I've actually developed a whole training curriculum for businesses that they have a vision to break through to their first million, and we pace them accordingly so that they get the education and support that they need at a price that they can handle, and it takes them up so they finally
make
that first
million. So they can get to the point where they can hire you in person.
How did you find yourself with this skill set? Did you work for other companies that you helped grow and you recognized, like, I'm really good at this, let me go out and help others?
I was born into business, and I don't mean that. That's kind of my attempt at being punny, but it's kind of true. My parents bought their first business when I was four, and so I literally didn't have a choice. And I've gained many skills along the way, building my own businesses and again, helping other companies. I just kept seeing the same situations over and over. And I figured, you know, these were some of the things that I struggled with. And I just want to help others so that they don't have to go through the long, expensive learning curve that can happen.
You do have a specialty in working with women. I know you work with men-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, but you, one of your passions is working with women, not just in business, but in empowering their lives. What do you do in that arena?
I love that question, and thank you. So I really relate to women a lot of, you know, women, whether you're moms, whether you're single, whether you're, you know, we juggle so many things. There's a myth that still is out there, and the myth is about, is it okay for us to have it all? And you'd think in the 21st century that we would be beyond that, but the reality is that that still exists. And there are three key problems that women today, and I don't care whether they've made six figures or if they're working towards their first six figures, to get to that next level, we struggle with so many things between work-life balance, being, you know, overwhelmed, and sometimes too many women have limiting beliefs that show up. So I am on a mission to help empower women and educate them how to build better business with better entrepreneurial education. And so I actually have a two-day women's event coming up in October that is designed to help address the personal and professional side. And I'm bringing in a team of experts to help.
And they
take
can find
the
out about that at the ResultsRock.com.
Go to ResultsRock.com. There's a big banner. Click on it and you can learn more.
Deborah Sweet, thank you so much.
I'm glad to be here.
Up next, we're going to talk to Brandon Fishman. Internet Marketing and Vitacup are his companies. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Stay with us, folks. We're not going anywhere, and we hope you don't either. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but did you know you can watch us too? Watch us on Facebook, visit our Biz Talk Radio page, share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, we always appreciate your likes. And Bob, especially appreciate your likes.
I do.
I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, and I really want you to like me, at least on
Facebook.
Facebook, yes. Huh. We're going to move on. We're going to Deborah Sweet. She's quite the bundle of energy. She's got a lot to offer. ResultsRock.com is the website you want to go to check out her information. And if you're interested in the women's event that's coming up, you can get there through ResultsRock.com. We're going to change gears now. Brandon Fishman's with us. His companies are Internet Marketing and Vitacup. Interesting combination of companies, and we'll find out why he has both. Brandon, welcome to Biz Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be here today. We'll get to Vitacup in a second because that's one of your newer ventures. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about internet marketing and what you do in that firm.
Sure. I've been around for about 11 years. I started it back about 2006. Right now, we have about 100 employees. We're based right here in San Diego. It's a full-scale digital marketing agency. So we do everything from website design and creative to search engine optimization, managing paid search campaigns, analytics, social media, pretty much the entire digital marketing presence for companies.
All the stuff I look at on the internet and have no clue what I'm looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then you do that.
Yes.
Glad somebody's doing that. So you have 100 employees doing this.
Correct.
In the San Diego area.
We have about 75 here. We have an office in Vegas where we have 25.
Wow. Now the work that you do, I'm guessing, is for more substantial companies?
Larger brands, mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what the kinds of clients you work
sure.
for.
We're the agency of record for National University, for example, here, a large
who's
university.
That?
National University.
That's a joke. I was just kidding.
Large university,
yeah. They are one of the largest employers in San Diego.
Yeah,
yes.
We do search work for MasterCard. We do some big hotels in Las Vegas. Aria Hotel and some of the bigger hotels there. We do Polycom, all sorts of different stuff.
So when you say search work, I don't know what that mm-hmm. means. I know we go on Google or Bing or some of the other search engines. What is search work that you're talking about?
If someone types in something in Google, the top three or four searches are paid search, in which we optimize and manage those campaigns. And below that is called the organic search. So we do what's called search engine optimization to help you get higher for certain keywords.
I bet you look at the internet way differently than I do.
Probably.
What are some of the most important things you can focus on to try to get a company or a brand as close to the top as possible?
Really, by far, the most important thing is quality content. If you produce quality content, people are going to link to it, people are going to share it, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, so that would be important, having something of value when they get there, right?
Exactly.
So what sort of content would something like, say, a hotel be putting out? Are they talking about events that they're putting on?
For example, for the Aria last year, we actually did this infographic piece, which is one of those long pictures about how to spend $1 million in 1 weekend in Vegas. And it was a viral piece of content, and it got shared 20,000 times. And everyone that shared that, it had an embedded link in there back to the Aria. So by picking up all these links all across the internet, it actually boosts your value by Google and you rank higher for certain keywords.
So go ahead.
I was just going to reiterate. So creating content and continuously putting things out is the best. There's no, you're not shoving money at Google saying, please put us first.
Well, you have to do that too. A little bit of both.
I love infographics.
Yeah.
I think that concept is not new. It's just putting it together in a format that everybody understands, and that we now know this is an infographic is kind of new. Is that important right now on the internet, doing the infographic format where it's visual?
Sure. Yeah, it's just one piece. I mean, I think videos are probably the most important right now.
Videos are okay. Now that's a really interesting piece of information. Mm-hmm. So videos would be kind of the top dog in the priority of content you can deliver.
Anything that's viral. We also do like a lot of quizzes for National Pen. One of our clients here, we did something called "What Does Your Handwriting Say About You?" And it's this little quiz that you take, and that thing got shared thousands of times.
Really? I'm waiting on a guest to say something really bizarre that goes viral. So far, nobody's done it.
I'm probably not going to be the one.
No, you're not going to be the one?
What's changed the most in the 11 years you've been doing this? I imagine there's a lot of new things that have kind of
come. Honestly, there's a lot more shift towards paid. You have to spend a lot of money on paid search in order to get the results you really want.
What about social media like Facebook? Mm-hmm. I understand now you can advertise.
Facebook advertising is the biggest growth for all of our clients the last 2 years.
Is it really?
It grows every month over month, drastically.
And that's paid?
Yeah, for our clients, we'll probably spend upwards of $30 million with Facebook just this year.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Do you do mostly, I mean, it sounds like big brands. Are these all national campaigns? Or do you do very targeted, like, these are the zip codes we want to get at, and these are the kind of demographics that we're looking for?
Depends what the client wants, but it's both, yeah.
And so some of the brands that you're working with have specific needs to get to specific targets. It's not general.
That's why Facebook does so well, because if you want to target a 35-year-old teacher in a suburb in Chicago, they know who everyone is.
That's a really good point. So I was actually, you answered the question I was going to go ask. Mm-hmm. So they know that because of all the data they have. Now, this is all anonymized data, correct? Or is this data, like if I wanted everybody with the name Bob Smith, could I find that because of their name? Is that possible to do?
No, it's based on their buying behaviors and search behaviors. And then Facebook has something cool called lookalike audiences. So, for example, with my company Vitacup, we have a pixel on the website which basically captures the information of all the buyers. And we take that pixel and we upload it to Facebook and we say, create a lookalike audience. Find me, here's 1,000 people. Find me 2 or 3 million people that look like this 1,000 people. And Facebook will serve ads to those people based on their demographics.
When you say you have a pixel, what is a pixel? I'm thinking of as a little dot on the screen.
It's a piece of code that collects information on the thank you page when someone makes a purchase.
So I got a question, and just kind of along those lines. You're focusing on coffee. Would I have to physically say in my profile that I'm a coffee drinker and I like it? Or if I just post pictures of myself drinking coffee or check in at a Starbucks often enough, is that part of that data
set? It's all different types of targeting you can do with Facebook ads. So the first type of targeting is just buyer behavior targeting. So if you've ever bought coffee or things like that before, we would target coffee buyers. We also target soft drink buyers. We target people that have bought anything for household items or any kind of grocery items. And those are all different categories we target. We can also target by age or demographic. There's just so many different things you can do. We have resorts that want to promote weddings that will target people that just switched their status to got engaged. I mean, that's why Facebook does so well. It's
wow.
So targeted.
Yeah. What an amazing set of data to use and be able to access. So somebody gets engaged, now all of a sudden wedding venues can target them. So you can target people, I'm guessing, in a geographic area that just changed their status.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cool. You know that already, though, don't you? What's the weirdest thing you've run into in terms of people wanting to hire you and market on the internet?
The weirdest thing. I would say that we've been approached by a lot of weird things that we say no to.
Yeah. So I'm waiting.
Give us an example.
I'll give you an example.
Nothing like putting you on the spot.
Probably
right?
some things that are not suitable for radio.
Okay,
chat.
That kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the stuff that's not suitable for radio, we
say no to.
You say no to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can't talk about it on the air, you're not going to market it on Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a huge difference in marketing on Facebook versus other media, or is Facebook... Wow, already, we're done with this segment already. Okay, folks, we're talking to Brandon Fishman. Internet Marketing and Vitacup are his two companies. We're going to talk about Internet Marketing more and Vitacup when we come back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you dare go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take this moment to thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, music by Derek Audette, and our interns, Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, and Chrissy, and they're all in the studio today with the exception of Leah, who we will see on Thursday. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. I like having everybody here.
I do. I love it.
It feels
I love
like an
their
audience.
Energy.
It's very cool. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, nope. and you bribe them to laugh at your jokes.
Still
I know.
Nobody's doing it,
I know.
Though.
But you got to change your bribe.
Brandon Fishman is here. Internet Marketing is his company, along with Vitacup, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. Brandon, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We were talking about the marketing via the products on the internet like Google and Facebook. Is Facebook uniquely different from every other entity that you work with? Because it seems like they're the behemoth in the internet world right now.
Facebook and Instagram, because it's the same, but that advertising platform is together now.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
So that you combine Instagram and Facebook in one advertising campaign?
Did Facebook purchase Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
You can target. It's probably the best buy. They paid $1 billion for it. Everyone thought they were crazy, and now it's probably worth 100 times that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's because you're providing them with money from your advertisers.
Exactly.
So you're helping them grow.
Yeah. I'd say the other big growth is Amazon. It's just all of our clients. We're doing a lot of Amazon advertising as well. There's a huge shift there.
How do you advertise on Amazon, but is that mostly... product ads, like physical product ads as opposed to services?
Physical product ads, correct.
Is it different marketing services versus a physical product?
No, it's kind of the same technology. It's just different product.
And can you get ads on Facebook that get an actual response, like a call to action?
Yes.
As opposed, you can.
Yeah.
So if somebody has a medical practice or a law practice or something like that, you can actually get people to call using those
models. You can drive calls, you can drive leads, drive sales, whatever you want.
What's the minimum size company you typically work with? What are the smaller end companies you work with in terms of their annual revenue?
It's more about their annual fees to us, but typically...
So if they're small and they can afford you, you'll do it anyway.
We've taken on only a few startups that are if they're backed, but usually it's companies 10 million and above.
10 million in annual revenue.
Correct.
And then because it's the internet as opposed to other kinds of media where you might not know exactly how many people are looking, like advertising in a magazine or even on the radio, you can guess at how many people and come close. But on the internet, you actually know the numbers, right? I mean, it's
Google Analytics kind of controls everything. We know the exact numbers to the second and everything we're doing.
Are you surprised from time to time about what works and what doesn't? Or when you go into a campaign and
I'm surprised on how much sales actually increase conversion rates.
Seriously?
Yeah, we had a Labor Day sale for my new company, Vitacup, and our typical conversion rate is 4%, and we were at 8% all weekend just because of an extra 10% off. And people really love their sales.
People Seriously. Like to think they're getting a good deal.
Yeah.
So that's a bit surprising from time to time because you get better results than you anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone into a campaign and were really excited about it and thought this is just going to be great and it didn't work the way you thought?
So a lot of times that happens in lead gen campaigns where if we're driving leads to a company and then it's on the burden of the company to close those and they don't have the right salespeople or sales training in place, then that's the bummer.
You get them invited to the party, but they don't stay.
Correct.
Because they're not able to do that.
And so maybe that's where Deborah comes in and helps all that.
So the conversion rate that you see is when products are actually sold via the online effort.
Correct.
Like somebody orders, an order form actually pops up and somebody orders it right there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times these days, people will go to a website, not order, go to Amazon and see if it's there and then order from Amazon. And we see about 30% of that. So if a company does $10,000 in a day, they'll probably do about $3,000 on Amazon.
Are a lot of companies doing exclusively internet marketing now, meaning are you getting 100% of their marketing budget, or are they still doing maybe 50% with you?
The shift is continuing every year.
So you're getting a larger percentage is going toward internet marketing, yeah, versus being in a magazine or a newspaper.
You just can't track all that, and really the print doesn't work that well anymore. So
Are you, obviously newspapers are struggling all over the United States and maybe around the world. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you see the demise of that? I mean, when you look around and you're in the advertising world.
I don't think newspapers will exist in 5-6 years at all.
Just like Kodak thought film would never go away, huh?
The New York Daily News was sold today for $1.
No way. So that really is sad.
Yeah.
Somebody has now a white elephant to maintain.
You mean the physical paper itself won't be sent out? We'll still have some electronic
they'll have online,
version
of the actual physical papers. I think 5-10 years max are gone.
It seems like they're just a pet project for billionaires these days. Like Bezos bought out the Washington Post, and then how much can you trust them to be honest?
Well, the online resources are becoming good advertising tools, so the online will still exist, but the physical papers probably won't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you know when you go into a campaign, I'm guessing you kind of have some kind of idea of what cost per lead or cost per conversion is. How do you measure or how do you know how much to spend on a campaign?
It's simple math.
Is
so
it really?
For example, if we know if you're spending money on a click in Google, it's all based on how competitive that term is. Clicks can cost 10 cents or they can cost, if you're doing debt consolidation, it's like $60 a click. Or injury law is like $70 a click. Some of them, so there's two of the most expensive ones. So you take a look at how much the click costs versus what your anticipated conversion rate is, and then you figure out what your cost per lead or cost per sale is.
So if somebody out there, I mean, almost everybody that we meet these days has some kind of idea for a business or a thought to make money. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got kind of a side thing. Either they're driving for Uber, delivering pizzas, doing something else. So everybody kind of has an idea about what to do. Is this the kind of thing that somebody that's starting out of their home right now with a simple idea of something to market, is it still possible for somebody to grow a business starting with nothing on the internet, or do they need to get something going and then transition over?
The only way to get it going with nothing is if you're really, really good at content and social media marketing. That's the only way to do kind of guerrilla marketing these days. Otherwise, you need a marketing budget.
And for a small company, that might not be enough to get them going. And well, obviously for you, you're not going to take them on. Are there companies that do what you do for the smaller companies?
Sure, there are. Yeah. But there's also a lot of the ones that just take their money and don't do much for them. So they got to be careful.
It segues into my next question. Your industry is relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of competition at the level you're at right now? Are there many, many companies doing
what you do? There's a decent amount of agencies. There's also a lot of small agencies that outsourced overseas and produce low quality work. So I would encourage people to find one of the top agencies.
So are you an advertising agency? So it's not just internet marketing. You're actually an ad agency.
Correct.
And that's how you make your money then, with agency fees?
Agency fees, correct.
And is that paid directly from Facebook or directly from Google, or do you take that off the top?
We take a percentage of media, or clients pay us fees for work like social media or website work or creative.
Is it like back in the day, like if you were watching Mad Men, right, and they come in with copy, do you guys have creative people who are
helping?
It's
exactly like Mad Men.
Mad Men?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Do they wear
the
60s clothes?
But that's the fun thing, too. One day you're talking about a university, the next thing you're talking about how to sell tools or something, so that's cool.
You talked about content a second ago, and if you did watch a show like Mad Men, or remember that show Bewitched, where Darren was an advertising agency?
That's right.
You guys are way too young, I'm sure.
I remember Bewitched.
No,
I remember
you don't. Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought that would be a generational issue. wow, this time goes fast. Internet Marketing's owner, Brandon Fishman, and Vitacup is in studio with us. We're going to talk more about how they create the campaigns that they produce results with when we get back. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
We'll be with us in you'll be with us in just a minute.
We'll be with us, too.
Yes, we will. Stay tuned, folks.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us from the ESET studios, ESET Internet Security. Do more and get a podcast of today's show and any of our previous shows. Now we're talking. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. And by the way, if you like the show, make sure you do the podcast, because guess what? Because we're not doing internet marketing, the way Nielsen rates us is with a little pagers. I've learned so much about ratings.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. But the one way that they can really know how many listeners we have is by you listening to the podcast. And even if you don't like the show, do it anyway, just for us, okay?
Do it for Bob.
Listen to the podcast, but make sure
I think that's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, you think? Well, I can try. Maybe somebody out there will have pity and do it. But you got to listen 5 minutes for us to get that brownie point.
Is that right?
Got to do it within the first 24 hours, too. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
Technology is a wonderful thing.
And speaking of technology, that was a great segue. I really like that segue. Brandon Fishman is here. Internet Marketing and Vitacup, two companies that he's at the helm of and founder of. Want to wrap up on, well, not wrap up, but I want to kind of shift gears to Vitacup in just a few minutes. How do you create the campaigns for people? We just talked about the ad agencies, Mad Men, and some of the TV shows are around ad agencies, and it's kind of a cool thing in an industry that's changing rapidly. You have 100 employees. Some of them, I'm guessing, are writing copy. Some are doing video. Some are doing other things. How do you coordinate a campaign for, say, National University or some big client like that?
So every campaign has a senior account manager that acts as kind of the head strategy person for the campaign. And they put together internal strategy meetings where we kind of strategize and put everything together and then present it to the client, get client feedback, and go from there.
The Darren on Bewitched.
Exactly.
Do you guys have non-compete clauses? Meaning if you work with MasterCard, are you not going to work with Visa for that reason?
Some clients, yes. Some clients. If it's big enough, we do.
So you do have some exclusive arrangements with clients. And that's, I'm guessing, very, very critical to relationships. Mm-hmm. So you don't cross over with things. That would be interesting. It's a great business you're in.
Thank you.
Wonderful. It's got to be kind of the wild, wild west of the world these days. It's just so unknown right now.
And it's changing every second. So
what do you see the biggest changes coming? I mean, what's happening that allows you to say, I think we need to move in this direction because think changes are
coming? Lately, it's just the massive shift towards Facebook and Amazon. We're really increasing staff on both those channels.
You think there's any competition coming up at all for those, or are they going to dominate for a while?
I think Amazon's going to crush everything.
It seems like they get gobbled up, too. It's almost the business model. It's like, we're going to get big enough so where we can get bought for $100 million or $1 billion by either Amazon, Google, Microsoft, or Facebook. Right?
So that could be a business plan. You find a market niche that's not being filled by one of them, create it, and then sell to them.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. We'll have to do that. I wonder if they need a radio show. Maybe they need a radio show.
Facebook Radio. We are on Facebook Live, so they probably got a lot of radio. They already have us.
That's true. Never mind. They're not going to buy what they already own. Vitacup, a new company for you. You just started kind of completely off the radar of internet marketing. Well, maybe not so much, but this is a physical product rather than a service you're providing. Tell us about Vitacup.
It's a fun story. I'm pretty into health and fitness, always have been. I even get vitamin shots regularly and very into my health. And I have a friend who runs a big company that makes the Keurig cups, the Keurig compatible cups here in town in San Diego. And I was having dinner with him about a year ago, and we were talking about what's new in coffee and how some people are adding additives or different flavors. And I said, we should put vitamins in there. And long story short, we hired a few people, a nutritionist, to help us out with it. We developed and launched in April. And here we are sitting in September, and we'll do over $1 million this month in sales.
And you just started a few months ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Are you marketing on the internet?
You think?
Were you able to afford the company that you hire for other things? I mean, that's like, oh, I guess you can.
That's exactly what we did. We actually hired, it's a separate entity. We raised money. We raised almost $3 million so far. We hired my agency, and my agency does the work.
So we've been adding, vitamins to orange juice, cereal, like milk for a long time. Mm-hmm. Has nobody thought to do this with coffee yet?
Yeah, are you the
people
first pioneer?
People have done it in bags, but small companies and not on a large scale never really market it. No one's done it in the K-Cup form.
K-Cup is, for those that don't know, is that the model of the cup?
Anything that's compatible with Keurig, yeah.
So it's called a K-Cup.
That's what they call it, but we just call it a vitamin-infused coffee pod.
Didn't Keurig have a patent on
right,
that?
It expired after the 10 years, so that was a few years ago, and the market's been kind of flooded since.
So people are making products that go in Keurigs because there's so many of them out there. I think that's probably the number one dominant coffee maker out there, right?
Correct.
For the single serving, right?
Green Mountain, yeah.
Yeah. So the concept came about from a conversation you had with somebody that's already making these items. Why do you think nobody's done this till now? Do you think, was there some technical challenge?
Well, the patent only ran out a few years ago, so there's only been a couple-year window here. And then it's it's not cheap to get into that game. You have to produce a certain amount of cups, and you have to market it well.
So because they were already manufacturing, that gave a foot in the door.
Right.
What about the challenge of putting vitamins in the coffee
itself?
So
we actually tested over 100 different vitamins one by one to see which ones would not affect the taste. And we ended up with pretty much a large mix of B vitamins and also D. So it has a large concentration of D3, B12, B1, B5, B6. Other vitamins like... Because all the B vitamins are water-soluble, so they worked. Certain vitamins like C or A that are fat-soluble didn't taste very good.
How do the vitamins get to you? Do you buy them from a lab and then dissolve them in a batch of coffee? What's that process?
You don't crush up pills.
Our manufacturer, Intelligent Blends, here in town, they actually source them and buy them from different labs across the country, and then they're actually ground in with the beans and blended in the process.
Does vitamin C, that has a bitter taste to it, I'm assuming, because
so we don't use
C
any vitamin
really
C, yeah.
So you do have a sweet of vitamins in there, though. What are you seeing people buy your coffee because it tastes good or because it has the vitamins in it or both?
It's really for the vitamins. We actually did a taste test with about 50 people and a blind taste test against Starbucks and Pete's and a few others, and no one can tell the difference. Our coffee really tastes just like all the others do. They can't even tell the difference between their own sometimes. But it's just about that you're already drinking coffee, and most people forget to take their vitamins, so why not do it at the same time? It's pretty much that simple.
Does putting vitamins in, they're single cup servings, right?
Correct.
They're little pods.
Right. They're single cup servings. Does it cost a lot? Does it add a lot of expense to manufacture it to put the vitamins in there, or are they relatively inexpensive?
It almost doubles the cost of a regular cup.
Really?
Correct.
Now that surprises me. I would not have guessed that.
We use high quality vitamins as well.
What would it look like if you were just to drink a cup of coffee and then take like a one a day vitamin? Are you looking at the same cost, or do you just think the convenience of getting it all in something that you're already doing?
The convenience is really our factor there.
Because people are not gonna get up and move without their coffee, but they can without taking
a
vitamin.
No one forgets their coffee; they forget their pills all the time.
If you're like me and you drink like 4 to 5 cups a day, is there any risk of overdoing it? Meaning you're getting too many vitamins, or
we recommend up to 3 based on what we have in there.
Okay.
I
was just going to say, I'd probably be okay. That's yeah. Usually, yeah. Then I switch to the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Are you looking at other products? We'll get to them in just a second. And then I want to talk about how you raise money, because we're almost out of time.
Sure.
You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Brandon Fishman's with us. His companies are Internet Marketing and Vitacup. Right now, we're talking about vitamin-infused coffee. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
One more segment, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Tomorrow, our in-studio guests will be Eva Casey Velasquez, who's with the Identity Theft Resource Center, and Martin Sabarsky with Solana Inc. I'm Montana Smith. And
Aaron,
you are?
Cannata.
A slight pause there.
Aaron Cannata. There.
Nice, Aaron.
And then there's Bob Ryan. You're going to start a new trend in people announcing their names that way. Brandon Fishman's with us, Internet Marketing, Inc. Thanks for correcting me on that. I didn't put the ink behind your name. And Vitacup are the two companies he's founded and owns. Vitacup's a pretty amazing startup venture that you've founded just a few months ago. And you said you're going to do $1 million?
We've grown about 100% month over month, and we'll do over probably $1.1 million in September.
You know those are good numbers.
Not too bad.
Pretty happy about this, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Are you looking at other products like things like Rockstar or Monster sodas? Looking at anything else, or is coffee kind of the way you're focused?
It'll be coffee and tea mostly. And we have some different variations coming out that'll be pretty cool.
So, will the vitamins go in the tea bags or in the raw tea?
The little cups, just like
that's right. Yeah, you manufacture the cups. Okay. Mm-hmm. You raised money for Vitacup,
right?
Correct. Well, how does one go about deciding whether they want to raise money for a company or do it organically?
It all depends whether the product is going to be profitable out of the gate. So we knew, or at least my strategy was, to acquire very fast and become the market leader, since we were creating the market. And I know that we would have to pay a decent amount to acquire those customers through Facebook advertising and other channels, and that we would run at a loss for probably a year to a year and a half. So that we needed the money to do that.
Because your burn rate was too much.
Correct.
Yeah. So what do you do when you start raising capital? I'm guessing the business plan is the first thing that you sit down and map out, right?
I am not a huge believer in long business plans. I do like a one-page plan and a set of financials.
So it's an upgrade from the back of a napkin,
yeah,
but not quite the traditional, you know, full documentation. So you put together it's not a shortened business plan, would it be? It would be more of a concise business plan?
Yeah, one or two pages long. But it was really more about the sales. I put the original capital in myself. And once I was able to generate some sales very quickly, it was pretty easy to show the investors that if we put more money into this, it would grow very fast. And needless to say, they've been pretty pleased. So
we'd guess so.
How do you find the investors?
So good question. So I've got a pretty good network here in San Diego through YPO, the business organization that I'm in. And I went there. They've got
Young President's Organization.
Correct.
Right?
And they've got a deal network where I found some of the initial investors. And now that we're looking for larger investments through venture capital firms, I actually spent one day and locked myself in my office and Googled every venture capital firm in the Valley in LA and wrote about 300 emails to all their partners with what we've done, and pretty much all of them got back to me. So we've set up, probably had 30 venture capital meetings in the last month.
So when you're talking to the folks that can write you a check, are you looking just for the money they can provide, or do you look also at maybe the other kinds of things they can help with?
We're looking more strategic investors, so
really?
Someone that could help us or has had experience moving into retail. We're internet marketing guys. We're not retailers, so people that have connections with Whole Foods and Target and all the retailers that we want to be in the world and how to move into that. And we're speaking with a few out of LA that have a lot of celebrity connections to get some celebs behind our brand as well. So,
ooh, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody in mind? Because I'm available.
I can't tell you.
So what stores are you in currently? Where can we buy this?
So currently it's just on Vitacup.com.
Okay.
And it's also on Amazon Prime. We just got up on GNC.com. And then we'll be in more stores next year.
Oh, congratulations.
GNC. Now, mm-hmm. There's an interesting... Have they done anything with coffee at all before?
We are their first on there.
So because of the vitamins, you were able to open up a brand new market for coffee then?
Correct.
Well, that's fascinating. That's got to feel good. Have you had any surprises along the way in the short life you've had so far with Vitacup? Is everything worth mapping out or going the way you thought it would map out?
It's been tricky. We find little things here and there, like shipping and fulfillment can be a little more of a headache than you want it to be.
Because in internet marketing, you don't have a whole lot of shipping and fulfillment, right? It's all done via computer.
Right.
So this is actually a physical product.
It's actually a physical product. So we work with a vendor in town, and they weren't working yesterday, and we had a massive day. We did over $60,000 in one day,
but nobody's shipping.
No one's shipping, and they come to work today with 3,000 orders, and they're like, "What do we do?"
Holy cow!
It sounds like a better problem to have than not having any sales.
So.
Yeah. Does the market outside the United States have any appeal?
It does. We just don't have all the permits to go there yet, but we will.
I imagine anywhere where there's a lot of K-cup machines,
correct,
could be a potential market for you
guys.
Well,
I guess that's a point. You'd have to have Keurigs sold in those markets. So I'm guessing Europe is a marketplace that's available?
Europe's available. Canada and Mexico will probably be first just because it's easier for shipping.
What about China? Anything open there, or do they not use those pieces of equipment yet?
That could be in the plans for later. We'll see.
China sounds like a great marketplace at some point in time.
It's tough to get stuff in there, though, sometimes. It's easier to get stuff out of there, harder to get stuff in there.
Well, we just set up manufacturing in China, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for China, you set up manufacturing in China.
So I imagine, is there like, do you think of there being a cap on this market? Meaning, you probably already know roughly how many of these machines and how many K-cups are sold every year.
Mm-hmm.
Are you replacing sales of people who are already drinking K-cups, or do you think this will bring other people to the K-cup market and actually help them sell more machines?
I think it's both. I think we're getting healthier people to the market, and I think we're also we've had tons of reviews and good reviews on Facebook that say that people won't drink another K-cup or another Keurig cup again, so...
How do you expand the offering for client for your users?
So it's not just Keurig machines. We're going to come out with bags. We're going to come out with little instant coffees and make sure we expand the market.
So you expand the ways that they can use your current product.
Correct.
Any thoughts about other products to go along with this? Different flavors?
I'm sure your brain's going
all the time, right?
We have some really cool new flavors coming out in different vitamin blends the next month.
Do you test taste them yourself?
I do.
Taste test them.
Jeez. I'm curious, going back to a company like GNC, do they do anything to verify that there are these vitamins
That's
in there? Or do they just take you at your
we
word?
We have to provide third-party lab tests, which we do. We have a third-party lab test the coffee after it's been heated to make sure the vitamins are at the same efficacy levels that as we show on the box.
Is that a one-time or is that an ongoing thing?
It's ongoing testing.
Okay. Yeah.
So on the internet marketing, that's got to be very fulfilling, but you're marketing other people's products.
Right.
VitaCup is your baby.
Correct.
It's your own product.
I've been able to take what I've learned for the last 10 years and apply it for something that's mine, so it's pretty fun.
Emotionally, what's it like to see your product move like that? An idea you had just a short time ago, and now you're talking about $1 million a month, maybe millions and millions a month coming down the road. What is that like on a personal basis for you?
It's just fulfilling. It just shows that what we've been doing for clients is right, and we're on the right track. And it's also a product that you develop that people use every day and write good things about is pretty fulfilling.
I imagine when you go to a VC firm and you're asking for money, you can point and say, hey, look at these other brands. These are the kinds of ones we've worked with, and these are the growth that we've seen. That probably means a lot to them. I'm curious if that would be a reciprocal relationship where they might send you business in the future, seeing as like, hey, this guy, we invested in his company. Look what he did for his own product and all these others.
That's exactly where our last few clients came from, just from those meetings. Good idea.
Seriously? Yeah. The launch of the coffee product, the VitaCup, had to be pretty astounding for you and really good news. Any other products, not in that arena, but other things that you're thinking about working on?
I have some. I need some more time, but I have some in my head ready.
You're not going to talk about them yet, are you? I can tell just by the look on your face.
Do a vitamin-infused beer. That's
a vitamin-infused beer?
Yeah. I'll get all my vitamins through beer. I won't ever have to eat again. It'll be great.
From coffee beer and coffee, you got it covered.
And you could probably put vitamin C in beer because you wouldn't taste the vitamin
C. I'm a tequila guy, so if I did it, it'd probably be a vitamin tequila.
All right, vitamin tequila. Yeah. I'll wait for it.
With a very healthy worm in the bottom.
There you go.
That was good. See how laughter your jokes.
Oh, my gosh. I actually got a laugh out of a joke. Brandon Fishman, Internet Marketing, Inc. and VitaCup are your two companies. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Wow. I love these shows. I absolutely love them. Don't forget, the word of the week is...
DigiHoarder.
DigiHoarder, which is the act of digihoarding.
So go out and get our podcast and keep it
yes.
forever.
That's it. You've been listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
You folks have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.